Almighty and gracious Father, it is a privilege and a joy to come before Thee in this house of prayer, to open up Thy precious Word with so many of our loved ones who are gathered together to lift the name of Jesus Christ and to honor and worship Thee. Our praises belong to Thee alone, and we pray that our hearts would be visited by Thee, our unseen guest, yet felt so very near and dear to our hearts, that Thou would instruct us, convict us, teach us, and draw us unto Thyself, to Thy honor and to Thy glory. And we would pray that Thou would do this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 10, beginning with verse 25 through verse 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I am come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Read to the 37th verse, and may the Lord bless this reading. May we all...
Our loving Lord and Father in heaven, we come before Thee, Lord, Thou who hast shown mercy on us, Father. When we were dead in sin, Lord, Thou hast come and visited us and bound up our wounds and healed us and hast given unto us life. And so therefore we know that Thou art that merciful God who loves us and who cares for us and who has done all things for us. Blessed be Thy name. We lift up Thy name and glorify Thee and kneel before Thee, thanking Thee that we have this opportunity, Lord, to come and to kneel before Thee and worship Thee as the one and true living God, knowing that there is none beside. Blessed be Thy name. Lord, we love Thee and we thank Thee for all that Thou hast done and all that Thou hast given. We thank Thee that Jesus Christ was willing to come here upon this earth and take upon Himself flesh and blood and to be tempted of the evil one and to walk a sinless life, glorifying Thee, bringing forth Thy words, dear Father, and doing what Thou wouldst have him to do. O God, and we just pray Thee that our hearts would ever be thankful for this gift of salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Father, we love Thee, Lord, for this for this gift that thou hast given unto us, much grace. Lord, we are undeserving of it. We have done nothing good of ourselves and continue to do nothing good of ourselves, Father, but it is all of thee. And so we lift up thy name and we give thee glory. Father, we are thankful for our lot in life. Lord, we are thankful for all that thou hast given unto us. We are thankful, O God, for who thou hast made us. We thank thee that we have Jesus Christ abiding within our hearts, the Holy Spirit directing us and comforting us. We are thankful for our health in a measure that thou hast seen fit. We thank thee, O God, for our families. We thank thee for our church. We thank thee for our denomination. Father, we give thee thanks for all things. Thou art worthy to be praised, and thou art worthy to be thanked. Father, where we murmur or complain, Father, we ask that thou forgive us. Lord, and Lord, may that not be a part of us, Father, but help us to be thankful, glorifying thee, and living, Lord, as thou wouldst have us to live, to be neighbors to those that are round about us, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Father, we would lift up our elders, Lord, in prayer, specifically our elders, as well as the elder body, Father, that thou wouldst give unto them wisdom, and thou wouldst give unto them discernment, Lord, and that thou wouldst help them, Lord, to guide and direct, Lord, as thou wouldst see fit. May they be in tune with thee, O Father, and may they seek their wisdom and their guidance, Lord, from thee. May thy word direct them as well as each and every one of us, O Father, in our ways, Lord, that we might give thee the honor and give thee the glory as it is due unto thee. Father, we pray for our congregation, each and every one. Father, we know that there are those who have physical ailments and difficulty in the flesh. We would lift them, each and every one, up unto thee in prayer. Father, for our elderly, we would lift them up in prayer likewise. For our youth, we would lift them up likewise, that as they have begun the school year, Father, that thou would spare them from the evil that is in this world. Father, we seek thee in all things. Father, we just pray thee that thou help us and protect us and strengthen and guide us, each and every one. Father, for we have an enemy of our soul who wants to destroy all the good that thou hast done, Father. But help us, Lord, to lean upon thee, to look to thee, and to build, to encourage, to strengthen in the ways of the Lord. Father, we look to thee in this. Help us, Lord, that we might go in this way. Lord, that we would build up and strengthen, Father, and not allow Satan to destroy. Lord, we look to thee. Help us one and all. Bless our youth, our young ones, our babies even that are among us as well. Lord, we look to thee in all things. Provide thou, may we grow in thee and in the nurture of and admonition of thine. Blessed be thy name. We pray these things that they might come to pass. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, amen.
It is good for us to hear it again, to be reminded of this word and this teaching that Jesus brought to this lawyer and all those who are willing to hear. When he asked a very good question, the lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" There is much that we can learn from this account. And as we heard this morning of the Lord's desire for us to nurture a heart of love and obedience to the Lord, that is no doubt what he is asking of us and seeking for us to develop. And it was mentioned that many good gifts and much abundance and wealth can be laid at the feet of the Lord for his service, and it's done to him, and yet without a loving heart, yet without a heart of obedience, it means nothing. And so this man asks a question, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Question has a flaw in it, yet Jesus does not upbraid him for that. Because if one man would approach the Lord and seek to provide some gift, something that he could bestow of his wealth or of his effort or of his doing to impress God and to make him stand in awe of his creation, cannot be done. The question is not necessarily a bad one, though, because Jesus does not upbraid him for it. But he uses the opportunity to bring the word to bear upon the question that he asks. He wants to know, what can he do? And so Jesus directs him to the law. The law tells us what we can do and what we should do. What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And again, Jesus does not upbraid him or correct him, but he actually says, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Jesus spoke of these two commands, to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbors, as the two commands upon which all of the law and prophets are hanging. All of the teachings and things that the Lord had revealed through prophets and through the men of old, the men of faith, all of them depend upon and can be drawn from these two commandments. And so they are so important for us to learn. And yet the Lord is still bringing this man along a journey. If this man believed in his heart that he had fulfilled this command to love the Lord his God and to love his neighbor, and he had fulfilled that satisfactorily unto all men, he could have left at the verse 28 and gone away a very happy man. But the account doesn't end there. This man came to a conclusion that each and every one who is born in this flesh must come to. We see the law, and we see its high and lofty standard, and we realize that we come short. And even this lawyer who knew the law so well, he realized that he came short and he did not fulfill specifically this command about loving his neighbor as thyself, that he did not apply that equally in all circumstances. And so you see a man who realizes he comes short of the word of God. And he's presented two options. He can come to that realization, a realization that one and every single man and woman must come to. And he has to decide, how will I approach God with this reality? He could come to the Lord and say, realize that I haven't fulfilled this according to the spirit of the law, yet I have a question and I'd like to argue a technicality, and I'd like you to just approve me just the way I am, despite this sin. I'd like you to justify me just like this. I'd like you to accept me just like this. This is the mentality and the viewpoint of one who seeks to be just by his self-righteousness. Whatever I've got, Lord, you can take it, and I'm not willing to change. I want to justify myself. I want to feel good about myself, and that's as far as I'm willing to go. The other path is a path that realizes that we have failed, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the soul will tell the Lord, I have no means to justify myself. I need to come not asking for approval. I need to come asking for forgiveness. I need to ask the Lord, will you justify me? Will you cleanse me? And I want to bring my heart and its brokenness and its failings. I want to ask the Lord for your cleansing, for healing, and for change. But this man wasn't willing to go down that road. But he was willing to justify himself, and he asked a question, and who is my neighbor? Because he knows there's certain people that he feels comfortable expressing mercy and kindness and love towards, and he's fine with that, but there's others that he doesn't. And he wants to be okay with that, and he wants to know that the Lord is okay with that too. And so he asks him, who is my neighbor? Let me see what I can get away with. Jesus had compassion on him. And as the law was being expressed and was being confirmed, it was brought about by the Lord as it is intended, that the law would bring us unto Christ. The purpose of the law, its high standard, its glory, is to bring us to an understanding of our need and to bring us to a place of humility and to that crossroads where we have to ask ourselves, will I be willing to justify myself or will I ask the Lord for his forgiveness? Will I seek his healing? And so the man asked the question, and Jesus didn't direct him to the law again. He didn't say, well, point out this verse because this man, he knew the verses and he wasn't interested. His will and his conscience were opposed to the word of God. And so Jesus appeals to his conscience and shares a story of a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, and was stripped of his raiment, wounded, and he was left alone, half dead. He was ignored by two men who should have known better and then was attended to by a Samaritan. And Jesus asked the man, which now of these three thinkest thou? And now the man is in a quandary. He had to deal and grapple with this truth, and he couldn't hide behind a verse that he knew. You see how he quotes the verse. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. If you have a question, if you're desiring an answer from the Lord in some particular area of your life, the man is asking about eternal life. It's a good question. It's an important question. We prayed for young people that are in our midst. It's a question that you should understand and you should know and you should have an answer to. And truly, Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, is the life that we preach. He is the one through whom we obtain eternal life, not through our works, but what he has done for us in his mercy and his compassion, in dying on the cross and shedding his precious blood to forgive us of our sins, and rising again on the third day to show that he has victory over sin and death. He is a victor for us, and we must be in him, grafted in as a branch upon the living vine, drawing all of our life from him. It's a good question. It's something we should be concerned about, eternal life. We can ask many questions about this life, but they are only short-lived. This life and the material possessions that we have are only a passing vapor, a passing dream, as it were. Eternal life, that is where substance is. This life is vanity, but eternal life is what we should be devoting this life to. If you really want to know, you'll look in the Word. If you really have a prayer and really have a question, you'll open up the Scriptures and see what does the Lord say. And you'll be in prayer as you read. And you'll be saying, Lord, My wisdom can only get me so far. I need spiritual direction. I need light from the Word. I need instruction. I may even need counsel from those who, maybe even my parents or those who are set in the church to provide that counsel for the keeping of our souls. I need to listen. I need to hear, and I need to obey. And I want to know. And I want to know what it says to me. And if that man went on that journey to pursue that answer to that question, and he really wanted to know, you know what? He would have quoted probably this verse. But he would have said, "The Lord has shown me that I need to love the Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I need to love him with all my soul. And with all the strength that he gives me, he wants me to love him with all of that strength. And with all of the capacities of my mind and the learning that I may be able to develop and accumulate over the years, all of that needs to be devoted into his love and to his service. Because that's what the Lord is speaking to me, and that's what I believe that the Word of God is sharing with me. And also, I need to love my neighbors just as I love myself." If we get nothing from this passage, it is that the Lord loves these things. When we embrace him in love, when we love our neighbors, he knows that we will be blessed. It is the very best for us. It is what will be good for our spiritual life. I'm really touched by a verse that was recorded in Deuteronomy, where after Moses had repeated the words of the law, the Lord was speaking, and he says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever." Just to simply be reminded of the beauty of God's command to love him with everything that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Simply to take that would be to fill our hearts and to bless us, to instruct us, and to turn us to realize how much we need him, how much we need the Lord to fulfill that. We need him 100%. To fulfill that. Yet Jesus, he's compassionate. He doesn't upbraid him for the way that he answered. He said, "Thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live." But he knew there was something missing. Maybe you are sitting and you are listening to the word and you're knowing that there is something missing. There's something lacking. You're in need. And you have two options. You can seek to justify yourself. You can seek to do more. It was interesting just to hear the recounting of the time when Saul conquered the city and they offered sacrifices when they were supposed to destroy everything. Just thinking of the idea. I wonder if Saul was thinking, "Well, maybe I should have just given a little bit more. Maybe I should have given, maybe God would have been pleased if I had maybe given some of my stuff too. Or added on. No. It's vain. As we heard this morning, the Lord's looking for obedience. And so you can choose and try to figure out different ways to manipulate God by sharing with him or giving him something that he might be pleased with. But the law is bringing us to Christ. It's bringing us to our need for our Savior. Who can be our Savior? The Jews, when Christ came, believed that there would be a Messiah that was coming that would rule and reign, and he would have power, and he'd be able to overcome the enemies and give them a place and a nation and rule over their enemies with a rod of iron. They were looking for someone great and powerful. Now, this certain man, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He wasn't expecting anything to happen. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. There was a man and a woman in a garden, and they were approached by a serpent. And the serpent deceived them, deceived Eve. And they fell into sin. And they realized that they were naked. And he had wounded them, departed, leaving them half dead. Spiritually, they had died. Physically, they were still alive. Who would save them? Who would save mankind? Would it be a great general or leader? Let's see who comes down the road and see what happens. The priest comes, by the way. He sees him, passes by on the other side. Perhaps the man was thinking, this is my salvation, religion. Maybe the law of Moses. Maybe practicing some religion will save me. Or maybe this Levite, who was part of a structure of priests, when he was at the place, maybe this one is the one that's going to save him. And he looked so hopefully into their eyes as they turned away. Sometimes we look for men. Sometimes we look for religion to be our salvation. Sometimes we look for power to deliver us. But the man is still sitting there. He's still bleeding from his wounds. He still can't get up. And in the distance, he sees a man. Doesn't look as nice, perhaps, as the other two that came by. And as he approaches, he realizes it's an enemy. It's a Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came to where he was. But the way that he looked at him, he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now what? It's not the powerful one. It's not the priestly one. It's not the man that I had expected. It's an enemy that's coming to help. My friend outside of Christ, when Jesus speaks to your heart about your need to repent and turn from your life of sin, you know that you're an enemy of Christ. But he loves you, and he's coming to stoop down at your side and show you a way of healing. Who can be my Savior? Who would I accept to pick me up? Sometimes I think that maybe we prefer more a good-looking man, a nice, well-dressed person, somebody who's my friend and who is kind of like me. But Jesus was this man, this Samaritan, who was an enemy, who this man who fell among thorns, among thieves, he perceived him as his enemy. We were the enemies of God. Yet, even when we were his enemies, he came and he had compassion on us. He went to us, bound up our wounds, and poured in oil and wine. Set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. You see, there's something being expressed in the love of this Samaritan that this lawyer needed to know. This love was to be expressed without reservation, without partiality. That's what kind of neighbor we should be known as. Because Jesus is speaking to the heart of this lawyer and telling him, do not consider Who qualifies as your neighbor? But what is the quality of your neighborliness? What kind of neighbor are you? And also, not to discount or to set at naught someone. The scripture talks in, I believe, Romans, talking about do not set at naught thy brother. You know, that means that you think somebody's worthless. That is never to enter into our minds, that someone is worthless. And that is how these Samaritans were thought of by the Jews. They thought of as dogs, thought of as worthless. And yet, at the end of the story, the lawyer had to realize the neighbor was the one that I thought was worthless. What a change of heart. What a change of mind. That turning the tables on what we could all experience in this life makes us realize how much we all need mercy, how much we all need that compassion. How we should be careful with our words not to hurt or to offend. And when we do, seek to make it right. On the morrow he departed, took out 2 pence. He took out his own money, the things that he had gained on perhaps his journey, and gave them to the host. See, this is mine, and I'm going to give it for him. He thinks I'm his enemy, but I'm going to give it for him. Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay. What a love. What an outpouring of kindness and mercy that this Samaritan in abundance was showing. And it made it clear to this lawyer who it was, although the lawyer wasn't willing to even say the Samaritan was the neighbor. He said, he that showeth mercy on him. But Jesus' command is clear, go and do thou likewise. The words of the hymn that we began this service with, there are several verses that are very fitting in communicating and expressing this love of the Lord. Just would like to read a few verses here. Speaking of Christ, he our benighted race befriended. He pitied us in deepest love. To him we could not have ascended, so he to us came from above. No love more wonderful could be than his to share our misery. He saw no comeliness nor beauty in us or any worthiness, no, only wrong, neglect of duty, sin, sickness, shame, and dire distress. He saw no one who in our need could offer any help indeed. He had compassion with the suffering that came to us through Adam's fall. Our Savior gave himself as offering, and thus he freely gave us all the right, God's children, dear to be, and joy through all eternity. May the Lord, by the power of his Holy Spirit, instruct us through this parable that Jesus spoke and this dialogue that he had with this man, that we could see we often have similar dialogue. We often have questions. We often have prayers. Jesus is revealing to this man who is studying, he'd probably stay up many hours of the night to research and look for an answer. And it's got to be something really intricate. It's got to be something really distant. But he had to learn it wasn't that far away. The peace that is so elusive, that was so elusive to the disciples as they toiled in the boat. They were looking far and wide. They were looking at the waves. But Jesus was right there. He wasn't far. The word of the Lord is not far. Sometimes we look for direction, wisdom, purpose. And just thinking of the young people who have questions about salvation and the simplicity of God's commands and direction in life and purpose. Perhaps it is something that is near and dear, very close, not far, not something that needs to be at a distance, But even as this command is intended to be brought near to our hearts and to be made our own, the Lord wants me to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all the strength that he gives me and all the mind that he has provided. And he wants me to love my neighbor just as I love myself. All of the instruction and things that were revealed through the word that we will learn come from these two commands. So let's come to them often. Ask the Lord for his help and his wisdom. And seek in the word to find where is Jesus mentioned? Where is his saving power? Where is his love and care for me? And always remember to give him the thanks and the praise for all he has done for us.